The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. I want to mention a great resource for writers, and this month's sponsor, Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories. I'll expound later in the show, but the short version is this long-awaited book about the craft of creative writing from New York Times bestselling author Steve Almond sets out to debunk the well-meaning but misguided myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and most honest work. Pick up a copy today of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, wherever you buy books, more soon. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
Rainmaker FM.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your host, Kelton Reed, here to take you on yet another tour of the habits, habitats, and brains of renowned writers. In the second half of this file, The Guardian writer, psychology journalist, and author of the critically acclaimed book, The Antidote, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking, Oliver Burtman dropped by the program to talk to me about the writer's journey, turning a weekly column into a book, and rethinking positive thinking. Oliver writes about social psychology, self-help culture, productivity, and the science of happiness for his columns in both The Guardian and Psychology's magazine. He's also interviewed celebrities ranging from Al Gore to Jerry Seinfeld. In his critically acclaimed book, The Antidote, the author went undercover into the heart of the happiness industrial complex to explore why our relentless pursuit of happiness and success often leaves us feeling the opposite. The author looked to academics, psychologists, Buddhists, business consultants, philosophers, and many others in a search for an alternate path to happiness and success that involves embracing failure, pessimism, insecurity, and uncertainty, the very things we spend our lives trying to avoid. The LA Times said of the book, Berkman's tour of the negative path to happiness makes for a deeply insightful and entertaining book. In part two of this file, Oliver and I discuss modest goal setting and how to be productive when you're depressed, the fallacies of overcoming resistance, how to interview Jerry Seinfeld, and why you need to do just a little writing every day. The Writer Files is brought to you by the all-new Studio Press Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for authors, bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust Studio Press. Go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published.
And it's partly also to do with the economic structure of writing, right? I mean, if you're right, you're likely, if you're writing, either to be not doing it as your day job or to be doing it in a kind of fluid way where maybe not doing too much today doesn't necessarily mean no groceries for the week, but it might do in the long run. So it's a much more sort of murky area than other activities. But I suspect that right at the bottom, it is nothing more than the same reluctance and procrastination that strikes anybody. I mean, I can talk if you want about the only sort of remedies I've ever found that work.
Oh yeah, myself.
That's helpful.
By all means.
I think the most helpful thing is this idea that I found in a book that I was sent, I think, about how to be productive when you're depressed. And I actually don't have very much experience of so serious depression, thank goodness. But I sort of read it anyway because I was like, oh, maybe there's something I can use here. And this kind of really amazing insight, which I then included in my book, is just that you don't have to feel like doing something in order to do it. Yeah. And that a lot of our sort of motivational culture, our self-help, all the rest of it is all kind of, it reinforces this idea of like, we're going to give you the way to psych yourself up and get your mind in the right place to take action. And that's kind of, you know, well-intentioned, but it actually puts an extra hurdle in the path, right? Because now you not only need to do the thing, you need to feel like doing the thing. And whereas doing the thing is a fairly simple matter of like moving your arms and opening your laptop and pressing keys,
right?
Feeling like doing a thing involves like the very mysterious world of human emotions and the subconscious. And, you know, it is not at all clear how to get yourself into that mood. So the more that you can actually let go of that need and say to yourself, look, I don't feel like doing this. That's fine. Those feelings are fine. I'm not going to try and get rid of them. They're there. Oh, and at the same time, I'm going to open my laptop, open the file, and type, you know, some words. you can sort of, it's sort of feel the fear and do it anyway, but not just fear, you know,
yeah.
It could just be being bored with the work or feeling sort of like you'd rather be doing something else. You just don't have to get rid of those feelings. You can just sort of say, oh, hello, annoying inner emotions, there you are again. and also take the physical actions that help get the writing done. And then one other part of this that's been really, really useful for me, again, I know other people have, you know, done it for decades, if not centuries, is setting sort of process goals for each day's work that do not refer to quality, that are things like, you know, I'm going to work for 3 hours, or I'm going to get 1,000 words written, not I'm going to really nail this chapter, or I'm going to write something amazing that is really funny and brilliant. The moment you put quality demands in there, like, or if you're me anyway, you kind of seize up and the resulting quality is lower. If you use this really sort of mechanistic goal, just like any words on the page that meet that word count will count as victory today.
Right.
Then you actually relax and the chances are, in aggregate, over enough days and weeks and months, the quality will actually be higher.
That's right.
As a consequence.
Oh yeah, that's fantastic. I like that so much. I actually would encourage you to turn that into a piece in your column or thereabouts. But yeah, it's so good. Right. for all writers out there, that could be very useful. Earlier in the show, I mentioned an invaluable resource for writers. Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories based on 3 decades of writing, failing, and trying again. Author Steve Almond is a beloved professor at Harvard and Wesleyan and the acclaimed New York Times bestseller of 12 books of fiction and nonfiction. And in Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, Steve employs the radical empathy he displayed as a co-host of the Dear Sugars podcast with Cheryl Strayed, where they explored the joys and trials of storytelling to explode myths that hold us back from writing our deepest and truest work. The book includes chapters on plot, character, and chronology, but travels far beyond the earnest intentions of most craft books. It also includes writing prompts to generate new work. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Richard Russo called it one of the best books on writing he's ever read, and also the funniest. Pick up a copy of Truth is the Arrow, Mercy is the Bow, a DIY manual for the construction of stories wherever you buy books, and add it to your TBR today. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join. To get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on. But we have you recorded now, so it exists if you want to refer to your outline there. No, really, really good stuff. And a lot of what you talk about just kind of butt and chair, and not putting that pressure on yourself is so important.
And I think, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
Can I butt in? I just want to say, like, I think that there's a very subtle difference. Some people talk about butt in chair and they mean, yeah, just sit down and it doesn't matter if you don't feel like it, that's fine, you know, so give yourself those feelings and just work. And other people have this kind of like, okay, butt in chair and I'm gonna make myself do this. And they sort of set up this sort of internal battle with themselves. And you know, I have huge respect for the books on creative work that Stephen Pressfield has written, and I don't particularly want to pick a fight with with him. But I do think sometimes talking about this stuff as a war and you know, trying to overcome resistance and battle the demons, it just kind of turns it all into kind of an exhausting fight that maybe you don't want to have to do every morning at 9 a.m. And right. I think that being a little gentler with yourself is usually often a useful tool.
I love that. And, you know, writing is rewriting. So, there's always those multiple passes that make something better anyway.
Yes.
So you got to start somewhere, right? Chiseling away the raw elements to get to the good stuff. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, we can, you know, touch a little bit on a couple workflow things. It sounds like you're using Evernote and Microsoft Word primarily.
Yeah, and like text edit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have sort of like the most basic text editor for my sort of first pass at things. I want like no ability to format or choose fonts or anything like that. But yeah, then it goes to Word and Evernote. I'm sort of constantly frustrated by Evernote in the manner of a beloved relative who you sort of, you know, ultimately do really love, but you spend a lot of time getting aggravated by. And then I just use, you know, I do a lot on paper. I'm to an environmentally problematic degree, you know, I print things out and want to see them in that format. I usually plan chapters and columns by sort of scribbling diagrams on pieces of paper. So a lot of it is off the computer, but,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of what you do is the interview piece. I know that, you know, in the antidote, you traveled and you know, obviously kind of immersed yourself in some of those practices. But were you then taking notes by hand, or did you have the MacBook with you the whole time? Kind of how were you synthesizing and then organizing everything to get it back onto the page?
Well, back when I was writing the book, I sort of was in flux with how I was recording interviews. Now I can't just take, lots of British journalists start off learning shorthand, which is amazing, you know, and you can just literally record, you can record a whole interview in a notebook, word for word, but I'm not one of those. So I was recording them on a variety of devices that kept breaking. Now I have a very good iPhone app called Dropvox, V-O-X, that automatically sends the recorded files to Dropbox, that's a real discovery, that little app for me.
Neat.
And then a website called hang on, I'm just trying to think. I think it's called Transcribe, right? I think that's Transcribe@really.com, spelled WREALLY.com. Anyway, this is a web-based interface for doing your own transcription. They find that, you know, you load up the file and then it's got easy controls to sort of stop and start it. I know there are also sites now that do the transcription for you at a competitive price. So far I've avoided that because I kind of find that transcribing my own interviews is a really crucial part of digesting what's been said.
Yeah.
So I tend to do it myself, but it is not a pleasant part of the process, partly because it's just a lot of labor and partly because I have to listen to my own terrible, disastrous questions that go on forever and don't end properly and just sort of tail off. I've never really thought I am a very good interviewer. I think I'm okay at like writing up the results of interviews, but I don't know, maybe that helps in a way because it just means it's more like a conversation. Maybe I put people at their ease by being no good.
Well,
I don't know, but I don't sort of try. I've never really been able to plan interviews out very much. And they seem to have gone the best when when I just sort of got into the conversation.
Yeah, that's cool. And you've interviewed quite a few celebrities in your career. I'm thinking back to one in particular. You interviewed Jerry Seinfeld. And yeah, that's a really cool process because, you know, it's not like these chunks of interview that are just transcribed. It is, you're telling a story in between the reportage and the interview. And
He is such like, I mean, he is the sort of ideal, perfect professional to go interview because like people who have not had experience of being interviewed, not always very good, but people who've sort of gone onto autopilot, which often happens at kind of movie junkets and things, they're terrible too because they just tell you the same like three anecdotes, and then you find when you're writing it up that they told like every other publication like last week the same thing. And Jerry Seinfeld was neither of these things. He's like obviously he's a total professional, but he really, it really felt like he was like thinking about the questions I was asking him and giving me the responses that were relevant to him that day now. And also just being funny, which I kind of don't automatically expect of a comedian because I assume they spend like, you know, months working on their material or something, but he was just sort of naturally funny. And you probably know from being involved in productivity type things about his productivity method, which I spoke to him about. I didn't include it in the piece actually because it didn't seem relevant at the time to most readers, but this thing about having like a wall chart or something and trying to place an X in the box for every day that you do some writing, and then you have this kind of motivation to not break the chain.
Love
it. He was funny about this because he had like told some interviewer about it years ago, and then it had turned into this thing online called like the Seinfeld productivity technique. And he was completely baffled that this throwaway remark had taken on a life of its own because it just seemed so obvious to him. But he made a very good point that like writing comedy in his case, but anything like this, like it's fundamentally like an athletic process. It's like you have to train and do a little bit each day. It's much more helpful to think of it as athletics than to think of it as art, in my opinion.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's so funny. Well, how does Oliver Berkman unwind at the end of a long writing day?
I'm trying to remember back to when it wasn't all changing diapers and and rocking babies to sleep. I mean, that actually is great, even when it's tiring and a bit stressful, because it is so completely distracting that there's no part of your brain that is sort of fretting over other things. So I almost feel like anything that fully occupies your attention is worthwhile in that respect. What do? I get a lot of restoration out of just socializing with good friends, and I've discovered over the years that something that some writers do when they're in crunch mode, which is to become hermits and politely tell their friends that they won't be seeing them for the next 3 or 4 months. Like I've learned that it doesn't work for me and that I will be better the next day if I go out for a beer with a friend. If I stay and have 4 beers, then it's a different story. But you know, so I'm staying socially connected is actually really important to me. And I love like, you know, hiking in the country. I belong to a community chorus here in Brooklyn, which is kind of like a slightly weird hobby to have, but that is amazingly good fun. It's kind of weird how great that singing in a group makes you feel. I recommend that to anybody, even if like me, I'm not really much of a singer. You can't tell in a big group. So.
Well, I think it'd be good to hear that one as well. Is it all writers or?
It isn't, although you know, okay. Parks Link, Brooklyn, there are a few in that in that mix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I know we're kind of bumping up against a half hour mark. Do you have time to talk about creativity?
Yeah, a few more minutes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. We can just skip through a few here. Do you have a definition handy of creativity? I know that a lot of what you do and a lot of the people you speak with are kind of in the creative fields.
Wow. That is really interesting. I'm not sure I do have a definition for creativity. I definitely think that any definition I would want to use would really have to apply to almost any field. Like, I don't think it's true that you can only be creative as a writer or a painter or a, you know, a musician. I definitely feel like something about creativity is just the combining of two existing ideas to find a new idea, basically. And that is as likely to happen in an accountancy practice as it is in, you know, a writer's study or a painter's studio. So I think it's something to do with, like, combination is clearly very central. I mean, I'm sort of just parroting Stephen Johnson, who's written really great stuff on this. His book, Where Good Ideas Come From, is well worth anybody's time. And then I guess the other thing is, it is that sort of combination and innovation in the context of constraint. I've always myself thrived on only having, you know, 600 words to write my weekly column, and only, you know, deadlines, time constraints that where I, you know, you just have to get on with it. So I think that sort of combining things for new effects in within constraints, there would be some sort of makeshift definition in there.
Okay. Love it. Kind of before we sign off here, and remind listeners about your great book, do you have any advice to your fellow scribes just kind of on how to keep going, how to keep the ink flowing and the cursor moving?
You know, I think the thing I said about telling yourself that you have to feel like doing it every day is important. I think that keeping your goals really low on a daily basis is really important. I think the most important thing that I keep having to relearn is that even though it's such a sort of old saying or whatever, but it's just that a very small amount of writing that you actually do almost every single day is worth so much more than, like, a huge impressive day that you only actually manage to get around to once every few weeks. And there's some quote by Adam Smith that I have on my desk. I'm not on my desk right now, but it says something like, the man who works so moderately as to be able to work all year round not only preserves his health the longest, but over time will produce the greatest quantity of work. So it's that whole idea of, like, just do a little bit, but really do a little bit every single day or 6 days a week or whatever it might be. I think that's probably the most powerful piece of writing advice.
Love it. Well, the book is The Antidote, Happiness for People Who Can't Stand Positive Thinking, explores the upsides of negativity, uncertainty, failure, imperfection. So many good things in there. I'm a big fan of the stoicism angle, and you talk about the negative path to happiness, the nirvana of failure, wabi-sabi, as it were. All amazing stuff. So thank you for the book. Where can fellow scribes connect with you out there or online?
My website is oliverberkman.com. It's like so many writers' websites in a state of imminent launch, also always. I'm most active on Twitter at Oliver Berkman, B-U-R-K-E-M-A-N. And yeah, the book is where you'd expect to find the book, and there's an audio book where you'd expect to find that.
Did you do the audio yourself?
Yes, I did. Yes, that was fun. So yeah, the audiobook is me.
Fantastic.
Reading my book.
Well, I will try to find that one as well, so I can listen to it in the car. Fantastic stuff. Thank you again for coming on to the show and rapping with us about the writing life.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Cheers. Thanks so much for joining me for this half of A Tour Through the Writer's Process. If you enjoy the Writer Files podcast, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review on iTunes to help other writers find us. For more episodes, or to just leave a comment or a question, you can drop by writerfiles.fm. And you can always chat with me on Twitter @KeltonReed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.